The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning, and welcome to another week of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It is a rainy day in paradise here on the southern side of the American Virgins. With yours truly, Neville James, got a great show lined up. The Port Authority Director is supposed to be ducking in here in a little bit. Carlton Eitel Dow to talk about Port Authority runnings. We're going to actually incorporate that in the table talk, which starts at 8:20. So Dow should be joining us about 8:10. So this will be a good conversation because he'll be talking with four of his former colleagues if we're fully complimented this morning with Ronnie Russell, Donald Dust Cole, and the ranking member himself, Armando Rocky, Labor Numero Uno La Papeleta. We should be reaching out to the weather service in San Juan. I don't know if they're on right now. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Lee Ingalls.
Hey, Lee. How are you?
Hi. Good. Good morning. How's everything over there?
Good morning. Where it's rainy. Wet.
Yeah.
Mucha lluvia.
Yeah. We are expecting a shower activity for the rest of the morning hours, specifically across St. Croix and St. Thomas. But we'll see some cloudiness over there, some few pockets of showers, especially in the western sections of the island. But St. Croix is the one that is receiving the most rainy activity. These conditions are expected to prevail for the rest of the morning hours, and for the afternoon hours, probably it will diminish, causing mostly cloudy skies with stable conditions over there.
Now, the wind is coming from which direction?
It's coming from northeast, so that's why the showers are moving from the north all the way through the south of the island.
Okay, and this pattern has been in play for a while now. How much longer is it going to be?
Well, we have the northeastern winds pattern at least for the 2 or 3 days ago. And it's expected to hold because we have a surface high pressure over the western Atlantic, and that will continue to promote northeast winds, east to northeast winds. Today and tomorrow are going to be the windiest days, so we're expecting to see sustained winds between 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusty winds near the shower activity and obviously across the coastal areas of the islands. Conditions are going to change by midweek, where we are expecting another feature moving into the area. It's going to be the surface high pressure will diminish a little bit, and the wind conditions are going to be more east trade winds, easterlies across the region, and winds are going to diminish, and that will cause more shower activity, not specifically over the U.S. Virgin Islands, mostly for the local waters, but the islands cannot rule out some pockets of showers, especially in the morning hours, across St. Thomas and St. Croix. Rainfall, the forecast for those days are going to range between 30 to 50% in terms of shower activity for the morning hours. In the afternoon hours, it will keep mostly into the 20% to the 30%. So it's going to be very variable weather pattern for the rest of the week. Winds from the northeast at least until Wednesday, and then we're expecting to have the easterly winds again back on Thursday over the islands.
Small craft advisory?
Yeah, we have a small craft advisor in effect because it's windy. That is combining with a small northerly swell that is arriving to the islands. And we have a small craft advisor in effect for the, all the offshore and nearshore Atlantic waters, including the Anegada Passage and the Mona Passage. So that will be in place at least until Wednesday when conditions were slightly improved because the winds are going to diminish a little bit. And we have a small high rips or rip currents in place for the northern coast of Puerto Rico, and it's going to be in place for St. Thomas starting tomorrow. For St. Croix, we have a moderate risk of rip current, but, you know, seas are going to be slightly choppy in the coastal areas because of the wind, so that could result in some, you know, rough conditions over there. We don't have the high rips or rip current, but it can be choppy because of the wind across the coastal area.
Thank you very much, Lee Ingalls, and I'm looking forward to talking with you at the end of the week.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too, have a great day. That's Lee Ingalls from the National Weather Service down there in San Juan. So what we're experiencing here on St. Croix is not necessarily in effect over in St. Thomas and St. John and Northern Virgins, but you know, we'll take it. Eileen, cucumber green. You know, ain't got no brown patches up in this place right about now. Seriously, this place green. And we love it because we know come summertime, they're going to get kind of warm. You know what I'm saying? So, and this time last year, it was dry. You know, we were going through a protracted drought. We didn't see any good rain until that heavy rain that Thursday before 4th of July weekend last year. I'll never forget it. Yeah, Hannibal O'Brien had me to know that it only take one good rain now to make the island green. Ain't like in the past, you know. Overnight, she'll change in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? So, it is what it is. You know me, the sports junkie that I am. The first team to get eliminated from the NBA playoffs, the Phoenix Suns, got home, gone fishing. And shout out to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were dominant. So looking good. I think we got a couple more series tonight that could see the end of the season for some teams, or they could live to fight. Live to fight for another day. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to keep an eye on that as well. Okay? Yo, it's Carnival, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's that time of the year. And looking forward to a good carnival, an incident-free carnival. Unfortunately, we had some incidents over the weekend. I saw that online, and it's unfortunate that these things happen, you know what I'm saying? But what are you going to do? All right? So, oh, well, you know it is. So, Calypso Monarch John Gotti wins the crown again. So, we're going to give a shout-out to John Gotti for winning the Calypso crown. They said again, so it looks like he must have won it before, right? So, St. John, Fanaila St. John. Okay. So, congrats. I think he said he won it in 2018. It said 4 hours and 2 rounds of entertainment. The 2018 Monarch hailing from St. John had again won the crown. So, congratulations. You know what I'm saying? And, Super T took the first runner-up. You know what I'm saying? And Lady Mac had the best political song. And she was also second runner-up in the contest. So, Lady Mac, second runner-up. Super T, the first runner-up. And John Gotti, the Calypso Monarch, 2024. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like that. Looking forward to talking with Carlton Eitel, though, because I got a number of things that I want to talk about. I know the Port Authority, they've been doing a lot of things as well. And I'm sure the audience is going to be interested in that. Of course, you know, the P3 thing, right? The public-private partnership. So I'm going to have a good discussion with respect to that. One of the folks reached out to me yesterday. So I told him I was going to be speaking with Sadow. Supposed to be coming in the studio, actually. So he said, make sure to ask about the pros and cons. He said, make sure to get an expert to ask about the pros and cons with respect to P3. So I said, that's why you have a moderator. That's why you have a host. You know, I got to do my research. So I sent them an article that I'm going to use as a guide. Right? So they were like, what? I said, yeah, you got to do your homework. So it's all good. So carnival races, right, taking place this Friday, which is the same as Kentucky Oaks Day. And it's going to be good to see races are back into the fall in the Virgin Islands. We haven't had a live card here in the territory in a long day, right? That's what the conductor used to say. And the F, when I took the F to Port Authority, because I would catch a bus and go to Newark Airport when I was flying home from school. He just said, next stop, Penn Station. We can get the Long Island Railroad. I'll take you to Long Island, which is a big thing, right? It's one of the most popular railroads. There's a lot of people from Queens and Nassau County and Suffolk County that work in the city. They take the Long Island Railroad into the city and then back out late at night and all that stuff. So, been a long time since we haven't had horse racing here in the territory. So, hopefully, that works out well this weekend. Let me see. Storm was in September 17. So, September 17 of this year would make 7 years. So, we're talking 6 years and early May and early September. Six and two-thirds years. 6 years and 8 months. Wow. That's a long time. Okay, so hopefully now everything goes well there as well. There was something I wanted to mention. The governor was a guest on the show on Wednesday. And do you know that up to this weekend, people seeing me and telling me, I got a call from one of my, one of the former employees of the Legislature Central Staff in St. Thomas. And she texted me and said, that interview with you and the governor gone viral. And I was like, yeah, I heard that. And then yesterday, I see, you know, one of my former constituents. And he said, you know, that conversation there that you had with the governor, I was like, yo, man. Yo, I trying to, you know, live that one down. We always have good conversations, but that point where he, the governor took a shot at the legislature and said, and he's going to have reading class and all that stuff. You know, that one in, you know, let me say this. Some people find it hilarious and other people find it unnecessary. So I would say the returns, right? The feedback has been mixed. And it speaks really to, you know, how people view political leadership. And regardless of how you view it, at the end of the day, the goal is for good governance. And it should always be about good governance. In order to get that, though, you got to be informed, right? And you got to be able to communicate. And notwithstanding, you know, what side of the aisle you may be on, down here, you really got no aisle, you know. It looks like it's either Democrat or non-Democrat. And, you know, don't even know if the non-Democrats are holding one head, you know, unlike how we used to be back in the day. And I'm telling you, you know, when I, you know, first started to, you know, as a little boy, you know, watching the political landscape and all that stuff, the Republican Party and the ICM Party, they were tough. You know, they were forces to be reckoned with. And it's unfortunate that they have, for whatever reasons, you know, regressed in terms of impact. You know, and I remember, I don't think we haven't had a Republican senator in the U.S. Virgin Islands legislature since 2000, when Greg Benison and Violet Ann Golden lost after serving one term. They won in 98, and then both served one term. And since 2000, I don't believe we've had a elected Republican senator. On the ICM side, I don't think we've had an elected ICM senator, I don't believe, since Carmen Wesselhoff and Liston Davis. Both were not reelected in 2008. I think everybody else since then has either been a Democrat or an independent. That is unfortunate, given how we've had a Republican governor back in the day. We've had Republican senators who, you know, have served long time, Liliana Bilardo de O'Neill, Hannah Redfield, you know, ICM senators like Adelbo Bodbrand, Rocky Liebert was an ICM at one time, Uzi Richards. I'm saying, okay, also Uzi Richards, you're right. Uzi Richards up until 2012. Yeah, so it would be 2012. So we haven't had one in 12 years. And it's unfortunate, you know, because the dominant political affiliation establishment is the Democratic Party. And, you know, somebody go and put them in check. And that's what the other parties are there for, to offer options. And as it stands right now, man, you're either a Democrat or you're a non-Democrat. And it's going to be interesting to see how this political year plays out, simply because, hey, man, what's up, man? Have a seat. Director Dow has joined us, so we're going to take a break. Right now, when we come back, we'll set that up. We should also be hearing from his former colleagues. In a little bit, we got a great conversation coming up with the executive director for Virgin Islands Port Authority. Glad to see you found the building. Now, let's talk. Okay, that's what I'm talking. Oh, so you didn't know it was upstairs. Okay, good. So we'll take a break. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Now we're back here on Lazy Sunday. Yeah, you're right. Positive Nelson, Positive Tia Nelson, ICMA, right? So you're right. Well, not Rocky, though. When Rocky came back in 2015, Rocky was an independent at the time. So you're absolutely correct. So Positive Nelson was also ICMA. So we haven't had an ICMA in 6 years. Then before that, Uzi Richards. And then before that, Carmen Wesselhoff. And Liston Davis. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we had. So I want to welcome to the studio and to analyze this, the executive director, CEO also. What's the actual title?
Executive director.
Executive director.
Correct.
Of the Virgin Islands Port Authority, also former senator, five terms, right?
Correct.
Five terms. Carlton Eitel Dow, out of the district of St. Thomas, St. John. And the boys should be chiming in a little bit as well. Hey, welcome to analyze this in the studio.
Exactly, yeah. I wanted to be here. I mean, whether barring none, I wanted to be here. Since you've been doing your program, I've called in and phone, but I really wanted to be in this studio.
I appreciate that. So. We had about this after that, 4 years since we started April 27th in 2020. So glad to have you on. You also come on Monday, which means you are officially a part of the table talk. I believe we got Ducks and Rocky on the line as well. Good morning, gentlemen. What's up?
Good morning, Mr. President. Welcome to the special session of
Good morning, Ducks.
You got Rocky on the line or you alone?
Me alone, Rocky and Carlin, so I guess he'll join.
Okay, join. Okay, good. And hopefully we get Ronnie Russell, if he isn't on yet, on the other line joining us as well. So, Executive Director, a lot of things going on with the Port Authority. You got major construction going on in the Rock?
Yeah, we have quite a bit of things, but I'll take it wherever you guys want to go today. But what I really want to do is spend my first part of this discussion talking about the public-private partnership.
The P3, right?
So over approximately 2 years ago, we started embarking on this process, trying to see where we're going to go. We put out a RFQ, which was request for qualification. Later came an RFP, and that all during that time we had stakeholders from all major investors. Came to the territory. We had 9 major companies came in. We chartered flights, brought them over to St. Croix so that they could see the whole landscape. And they've been coming back and forth ever since until we wrapped this up. And
now, before you get to that, though, what prompted the desire for a P3 to be in effect with the Port Authority?
Strictly financial.
Okay.
Strictly financial because we need to upgrade these facilities. Like I say all the time, the rest of the world and the Caribbean isn't sitting down idly waiting by us. Over 70% of the monies we spend in this territory comes through the tourism product. And so we've got to enhance. That's the first thing people see. We have to do it first for ourselves. We have to make sure we are comfortable with what's happening. I see people, veterans, and I tell people it hit home for me when my mother had to leave to go for medical attention. I don't know whether it was by design, but that day, the lift wasn't even working at the airport. So it's a truck what came, them Sky Chef what came in to put food up on the lift. That's how we had to maneuver to get on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So when people go away, they fight for this country, they do whatever, anyone could have a disability. Anyone could need assistance. So the days of us walking up and down the stairs, as a matter of fact, there's two major lawsuits going on right now that had to do with the lift not operating,
mm-hmm.
operated by private concerns, and people getting injured on those lifts. So I think the time has come for us to modernize, make sure we have what they call loading bridges or jet bridges throughout this throughout the territory. Now, when we talk about really modernizing this airport, we want all the amenities. Part of our discussion, we're still in negotiations with the company that we have now selected, which is VI Ports, a consortium of many different companies.
So that's a done deal?
Yes.
VI Ports?
VI Ports, that's okay. The name of the new company. And the primary piece of it, the construction part, is a company called AECON. That's C-O-N, not the AECOM that was in the territory during the hurricane that people had a bad taste in the mouth
mm-hmm,
for.
Mm-hmm.
They're primarily, AECON is primarily out of Canada, and then they have a bunch of U.S. affiliates that they're working with, financing the project. But we're talking about in excess of over $200-300 million to rebuild both facilities. One of the things that the governing board, and as we discussed it, we were able to do in terms of our RFP, the couple things, we had some lines that we drew that would be non-starters. One of the critical, there's a couple critical parts to our RFP. One is that both airports have to start construction the same time. Because the nuance is we spend a lot of time dividing the territory. We wanted to make sure that what we say is what we do and that people recognize is real. And we can't say that the Sinkoi Airport is so important and we're looking for growth, we're looking for hotels, and then have it lagging behind. So we made sure that both construction projects should be starting at the same time. The other issue, though, let's look at you're a number person, Neville. So let's look at this quickly. In St. Thomas,
Break down that, $200-300 million? Break down that big number there so the public understand how you arrive at that number.
Well, that's based on what we want in the building, what we want the facility to look like, the cost today of jet bridges. In St. Thomas, we don't use the entire second floor is vacant.
Mm-hmm.
We expect to go up. It's more difficult because we have to do these things in phases because we are still going to be operating an airport when all of this construction is going on. So right out the gate, let me ask the public for the patience while we do this. But the cost of construction, what is going to cost people to build this thing per square foot, the material that's going to be coming into the territory. So our own engineering department and our consultants, we set some ballparks in terms of what we believe these people would have to the capital outlay
mm-hmm.
coming from these folks. And the fact is, the Virgin Islands, well, let me speak for the Port Authority. We don't have $300 million to put into nothing. And we have tried several ways, and I don't see the money coming from the federal government. What we get quite a bit of money for is the safety area, which is the airfield. We don't get money from the FAA to build a building. Unless it's, for example, we were able to get some money from them to build a fire station, Haines St. Croix, because that's considered a safety issue. But the terminal itself is not no lot of money coming for the terminal. Now, sometimes you might be lucky and get a grant for $20 million. We have got to be focused and go after what is real and what we could do. Now, I'm going
to come back to that one because there's something I want to ask with respect to recovery and our airports. Doc Cole, the floor is yours.
Well, good morning to all the audiences, and it's a pleasure to hear, my former colleague and friend, former Senator Ital, get it done though. attempting to explain what is the project and what is the plan. And he is correct, Neville. I remember one day I was at the airport and I had to fly out and it was an emergency, right? And the sky open, right? But the plane is on target, right? The plane have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either you come out in the rain or you sit down inside and miss the plane. The time has come for us to go like everybody else and get at least one or two jet bridges so we can go across and get to the plane. And I'm going to hold to let Mr. Dow continue to explain why they came up with this and the cost and that's associated with it, because I want to hear what it is. And another concern basically I had is whether or not the legislature was supposed to have any role in this, since the airport itself, I know it's semi-autonomous, and the legislature is what created the Port Authority. So I don't know if Senator Dow would be able to speak to that issue as well.
Sure.
No, he gets to that. Hold on a second. I think we actually have Rocky Laybon on the line, joining us as well, the ranking member. Good morning, Rocky. What's up?
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning to Director Dow and to the handler and the people of the Virgin Islands. I just tuned in a little late, so I'm going to listen up a little bit. You know, I know that the chief explainer is on, so we go
there. All right, Mr. President, of the 24th.
And the 21st, before you be there. Game, as well. I like that one. So you got this label, Get It Done, and chief explainer and all that stuff. You're doing good.
Trying your best. Yes. But I want to say never.
So address the first concern with respect to Doc's question. The legislature have any role in this, or is there any need for the legislature's involvement, or once you've been established as the semi-autonomous agency that you are, you have this capability on your own?
Well, and let me, early on, before we even get far down the road, we met with all, what we consider all the stakeholders, which was all the senators of the 34th legislature, right here in St. Croix, met with all of them to explain them what we were doing. A couple questions came up as to, you know, what role that they would play, if any. And so our position, and not our position, but the Virgin Islands Code gives certain powers to the Port Authority as an autonomous institution, which is we can go to bond market, we could raise funds, we could do capital projects, we could do all these things on our own, providing our governing body authorize it. So what we're doing, we do leases, long-term leases. I tell people sometimes, we look at it now because we're coming and saying, hey, we're doing the airport. But we have these kind of relationships in different form with Tropical Shipping right now. We have a 30-year agreement, and it's how we structure those kind of things. The key thing I want for people to recognize, though, this is not a privatization. When you privatize, and when you look up the word privatization, in other words, no asset is being exchanged. In other words, the private company, VI Ports, will not own none of this property.
What will they be doing?
There would be leasing, long-term, managing the facility. They're expected to get what they consider to be a reasonable rate of return with the guidelines that we're still negotiating some of those things. The Port Authority expect to receive some portion of monies up front and monies throughout this process. I want to make something else clear. None of the monies that the Port Authority would get under this program can be used for anything else. The legislature can't appropriate nothing from that. The governor of the Virgin can't take the money or anything. And even within ourselves, we can't even take money from that to go and say we're going to do something on the marine side. This money has to stay exclusively at the airport for airport-related purposes or for properties that we might have, you know, other properties we have around the airport. And like Puerto Rico with Aerostar, when Puerto Rico did this deal with a company called Aerostar, their mission was different than what we are on. We are not doing this because the Port Authority broke, one. We're current with our light bills. The other thing is we're not doing this because the central government have an issue and asking us to create. So you have different forms of P3. In this P3 relationship, the government of Puerto Rico, when they took the money out, it was to give the Puerto Rico government hundreds of millions of dollars to help them pay debt to the retirement and to their power company. That's why that was their driving force. Mm-hmm. So the FAA had to authorize that process. Ours don't have to be authorized as well by the FA, but we are not doing it because we need to extract money to do something else except airport type work.
Okay. So we're doing this because we have the flexibility to do this, is what you're saying?
No, we're doing it because we look at it as a necessity for the future and the growth of this territory in terms of our infrastructure.
Infrastructure as relates to the Port Authority, the Port Authority, and specifically the Sierra Lee King and the Henry Rosen airports.
Correct. Let me just...
The other marine ports, all that stuff, they can benefit from this, or this has nothing to do with that?
No, this has nothing to do with marine.
Okay.
Marine, we're working a deal right now. I'll be out as soon as Carnival done. I'm off to meet with Royal Caribbean. We're working a similar type structure. But let me also say this. In St. Thomas, at the King Airport, approximately 750,000 people go through the King Airport. Mm-hmm. In St. Croix.
On an annual basis.
Yeah. In St. Croix, we see about 200,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we benefit from the BVI traffic as well. Make that clear. But while we're doing...
And that number is incorporated in 750?
What?
The BVI.
Correct.
Yeah.
About 250,000 passengers move through the BVI.
Through our ports that go to the BVI.
Correct.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. When King Airport was built umpteen years ago, it was designed for the future growth of 300,000 passengers. Mind you, when that was built, there was no TSA. So in that same footprint, you have to carve out space for TSA, CBP. So what was already a bad situation in terms of the congestion, it made it worse in terms of what the growth is. We want growth. In St. Croix...
But there has been expansion at the airport before this major endeavor you're dealing with here.
Yeah, there have been some expansion. Yeah, yeah. You continue to... Right now, the hurricane, they evicted the DPNR from upstairs for us. So... The expansion was a lot of cosmetic stuff. You might replace a whole room or something like
that. Expansion of the runway.
Yeah,
that was critical.
The runway project, all these things. And that's why I tell people all the time, this is something called don't get up and dream.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these blueprints was right there. And I always tell people, I don't know what hand was dealt my predecessors. I don't know. But they did what they could have done during them time.
Mm-hmm.
But we to a point where now we have got to move forward again. Everybody's like, you're running a relay. You have the general Gordon Finch. He took it to a great level where, you know, under his stewardship. You had Darlene Brin, you had a bunch of others, Alton Adams, and all shared some vision of moving forward. But so we at a place now that we have to now take it another step further because and I want to make some clear. The reason why, one of the reasons, and I'm being frank.
Before you go, we're going to go to a break. When you make that point, I'm sure myself, Docs, and Rocky would want to respond to that. We got the executive director for the Virgin Islands Port Authority, Carlton Eiteldow, in the house. He's a part of Table Talk this morning here on Analyze This. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Don't tell me we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This. The table talk is in effect. Ronnie Russell is not joining us today. So me, Dux, and Rocky holding it down. We got the executive director, former senator, five-term senator from the district, St. Thomas, St. John, Carlton, Eitel, Doug. Morning, Rocky. Morning, Dux. Glad to have you guys on.
Good morning.
And,
morning, Mr. President.
And my name is Mr. Director. Before you make the comment you're going to make, right? It was thou now, thou again, thou forever. What the other two was?
Serious mind for serious times.
All that good stuff, right? That's number one. Number two, this is your second go around as Port Authority?
Correct.
Director. Who was the interim? In between, or that was just an acting stint?
No, it wasn't interim. David Mapp was.
David Mapp, yeah.
For a couple of years.
Yeah, and Rocky, we were serving together in the 31st, and that was right. That was interesting because David Mapp, remember we had a community hall meeting, right? And David Mapp came in and referred to director that was a maverick, you know what I'm saying? And then for whatever, you remember that, right? Give him high praise. And then the next thing you know, he was gone, right? So that's just the turbulent terrain that we deal with the political arena. But here is what I want to say to you. I want to ask this question. Why is the Port Authority not a primary beneficiary of recovery monies, given how important our ports are as it relates to hurricanes? I don't understand that part because I remember back to 1989, right? Where were you at that time? 89. You had just come out of the fire service, right?
Correct.
Right? No, you were still in the fire service, right?
89. Yeah. Is it all in? I think 90s when I came out.
Yeah. So, because you did a marshal stint as well, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
3 years.
So, Rocky, you can remember this, and Docs, when Hugo slammed into St. Croix, remember? Somebody wasn't here. Oh, Derek Hodge, right? Remember, Farley was here, but Derek Hodge, I believe, had taken his daughter to college or something like that, right? And the first concern was to get the airport open. I think at the time it was Alexander Hamilton Airport at the time, right? To get the airport open. That's when we realized how valuable our ports are because transportation in and out is a limited deal. When you're detached like we are, because we're an island, and we found out then, right? If you didn't know before then, you knew then how valuable our airports are. So I'm lost as to why the Port Authority and its facilities didn't get a huge chunk of financial support as it relates to recovery.
Well, there's a couple things, right?
Yeah.
Number one, We did get a good bit of money.
Okay.
From but our money come from
FEMA?
FAA. No. FAA.
I'm talking about FEMA recovery monies.
No, because remember we had insurance. We had a good coverage too.
Yeah.
Our coverage was in excess of $100 million.
Okay.
So the first thing FEMA looked to is whether or not you have insurance for that.
Okay, good.
And we did have insurance.
Okay, so you were good in that regard.
Yeah, but let me say something.
Yeah.
Let me say something there. So while I was at the port the first time, myself, Donald Fred Gregory, a couple of us, who was my CFO at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a conference.
Senator.
Yeah. We went to a conference in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And with our broker, our insurance broker at the time. And when we had a discussion with him, we're listening. And then he says to us, you know what? I believe we could raise your capacity. It can cost you about $500,000 more.
Insurance. Yeah.
So at that time, our insurance was about 45, 50 million. I think it was around 40-some million now.
Mm-hmm.
And for $500,000, he told us, we think we could get you up to like 100 million.
Wow.
So our coverage, at that time, I think our premium would have been probably slightly under $3.7 million, mm-hmm. right? So I go to the board.
Annually.
Yeah. I go to the board and ask them, hey, I think this makes sense. Let us do that. This is before any hurricane. You mean
before Irma and Maria?
Before Irma and Maria. Yeah. So myself, you know, the Ava Pens at the wall, and my staff, my management team, we had this brainstorming, and then we went to the board and said we should do this,
mm-hmm.
for $500,000 more. So that $500,000 ended up giving us over $100 million.
No, tell us what the board did.
Yeah, the board authorized it.
Yeah.
And that $100 million gave us more. I mean, that $500,000 gave us more than $100 million in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So when the hurricane hit, we had in excess of $100 million.
Okay, good.
No, but what I want to get back, I don't want to forget.
No, go ahead.
And I preface it what I say by, let's look at the raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I told you 750,000 passengers go to St. Thomas.
Correct.
200,000 passengers come to St. Croix. And that's why what we did is tell them, like Miss Sandy from the market used to say, Mokomora,
mm-hmm.
these things married. So we told them, you couldn't come in here and give us only a proposal to rebuild St. Croix Airport, St. Thomas Airport.
Mm-hmm.
They were jumping at a heartbeat. The raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What we did, what we were able to do is tell them, this is a package. And so we don't have 750, so let's say...
You got a million.
We have a million.
Yeah.
That's what we were able to sell.
Okay.
That we're going to do this as a package, and it'll be 1 million passengers that you have access to. Now, another question might be, well, why I didn't, with 1 million passengers, maybe I could have financed that. I ran something on the fare.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter, we are U.S. territory, and we can't have a passenger tax policy.
Okay.
That works today. The only person who could change that number is the United States Congress.
Okay.
And when the big airlines, and that's, the fee is about, roughly about $8 or some craziness.
Mm-hmm.
But that been in effect for more than 30-something years. And every time any congressman or woman try to move that fee, when the airlines push back, it never happened. But we get, so a lot of the money we do get on the federal side during the hurricane, we had gotten $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Port Authority continued. We kept all our employees after the hurricane employed. Nobody lost a job,
mm-hmm.
nobody lost a paycheck. And everybody know that if our marine brings us the most money, and on the marine side, we didn't see a cruise ship for 2 years, but we still kept everybody working.
During COVID.
And that's why when we go and we speak to the employees about what we're doing, we met with employees very early on and explained this has nothing to do with downsizing, losing a job, because we expect a lot of growth once we go through this process.
Okay.
So we wanted to make the employees understand that this has nothing to do, because if it had to do with downsizing or we're in such bad shape,
mm-hmm.
then we had the perfect vehicle when COVID hit. We kept everybody working.
That's good. Mr. Majority Leader, question?
Well, the question I have is the basically engineering as to how the airport is going to look on both St. Thomas and St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think St. Croix could be, if it's not an international airport, and how would this management agreement enhance more airlines internationally into St. Croix. So that's the question I have as it pertains to the proposed project.
And of course, before you...
St. Croix is an international airport.
Before you respond to that... Oh, yeah, it's an international airport. But before you respond to that, clearly hotel rooms drive traffic, right? So that's the built-in, I don't want to say excuse, but it's a factual dynamic that you can't deny, right? So is the port working in concert with tourism and all that stuff to get the hotels there so that whatever engineering we're doing at the airport, it works in tandem? That's a legitimate question by the school.
Well, what I would say is that we have tried different enumerations of things to try to stir some stuff with the hotel. What I can tell you, though, as part of the RFP that we're dealing with, in St. Croix, the RFP was structured just a little different. Little different because we're saying to these folks, we still have 400 acres of property across the street.
Yeah.
We talk about, we have discussions privately that there is horse racing, there is drag racing. People don't look at those things that people travel during these times.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to grow the product, though, that, like I told you, AECAN primary home is in Canada. So, of course, the discussion about Air Canada and different arrangement. St. Croix Airport is 10,300 feet long. Anything can land there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to capitalize on that.
Hey, Rocky and Ducks, please don't feel no way over this factual declaration the man just made, okay? With respect to the St. Croix Airport, okay? Okay, 10,000.
We have a lot of water down by St. Croix Airport. You could take our airport all the way out in the water.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about taking it down there because when the environmentalists start, you start to close off and we looked at that because
10,300 feet of runway, baby. It is what it is. By the way, I want you to know what you're talking about, Brian. I rarely, one of my listeners text me about 20 minutes ago, right? Oh, no, 10 minutes ago. And he said, growth potential, Brother Hodge, 300 plus acres on St. Croix. What do investors see as an opportunity? And you answered that question just now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we have development potential on the shoreline side of West Airport Road.
Here's a key component, folks,
mm-hmm.
and that is this. Nobody that I know of is going to take up hundreds of millions of dollars and invest in something of like what we're discussing,
mm-hmm.
and they don't see or don't analyze because they have boards and shareholders they got to report to.
Of course.
So they must know how the rate of return is going to come. And the only way is just like with what we did with Royal Caribbean, the way they're going to get payback is through growth.
Yeah.
They ain't going to get payback with the status quo.
Volume.
They got to grow the product.
Yeah, you need volume.
So let me just, and there was a question about, like, let's say the pros and cons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Employees, and rightfully so, have to be like, oh God, what's going to happen to my job? We already in, part of our request, it's already in writing that no employee that's working at the port and the aviation side can lose their job as a result.
Mm-hmm.
They must give a, every employee must get a job offer. Either what they're doing or something else. And none of them can make less than they're making today.
Those are ideal details.
And at least we have a number, but there is a percent that must go to the local amenities that we talk about, whether a concession, a restaurant, a bar inside the airport.
Mm-hmm.
At least a percent of them must be what we consider to be local residents. The concessions that are there now, we try to protect them as much as we can. In other words, they have to honor the contracts that are in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do the things to safeguard. But at the end of the day, business people are going to make business decisions. But what we try to do is make sure that none of this is happening at the expense of our people.
No, that's legit. Rocky?
Yeah, Mr. President.
Yeah, Mr. Ranking Member. Yeah, good morning.
Director Dow, Senator Dow. I applaud what you're doing. I think that it's been long overdue. The question that Doc asked and Taco asked earlier about the involvement in the government, because as you know, under the code, all properties, these submerged land, belong to the government of the Virgin Islands. The question is, if something goes wrong, what's there out there that we are putting up that could change the whole trajectory of the port? You know, that's, you know, life is like that. We have ups and downs, like you just said a while ago, downside and upside. What's the downside?
Well, the downside to me is not a lot. You could have COVID could hit us tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the board, we have made some policy. Yes.
I'm talking about this whole agreement. What's the downside to the agreement? I know that COVID and those things will happen, but the agreement in itself, you see, we just had an agreement with WAPA, with this BTAL and all of them, causing us all kind of problem. What's the downside of this one?
Yeah. Well, this is exactly where I'm getting at.
Let me dovetail on that so you could get a chance to answer comprehensively. And Rocky, I want to ask you for that outstanding question, because I was going to ask the executive director, what's the best case scenario and what's the worst case scenario with entering into a deal, a PPP, a P3 deal like this? Let's start with the worst case. What's the worst case scenario in your case?
The company could go bankrupt or something could happen with the company and they can't do the project.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that we have to have a contingency plan in place?
Correct. And it's in the agreement.
Okay.
What's in the agreement would be, for example, if they start, I remember we had two good compliant proposals came back to us.
Yeah.
Two very strong ones. We look at capacity. Does these people have the wherewithal mm-hmm. to do what they say they're going to do? When we look at their balance sheet, we know they have serious capacity.
This company, what's it? AECON.
But they also put a conglomerate together consisting of some financial folks out of New York.
Okay.
They have an operating agreement with other companies. They also have locally. Not we, locally they had went out and looked at Consiglio and Benton.
Mm-hmm.
They are the local contractors and we go on. So they put a team of people together. So one of the things that can go wrong in anything, this company, regardless of how big they are, they could go bankrupt tomorrow.
Yeah. Dallas.
You know,
yeah.
But let me just say one of the things that's not in there. This is not tied. There is nothing tied in this. Well, we didn't mortgage it then. Let's say you have a house and you go to the bank and you put up your house. That's not what's happening here.
Okay, good.
What's being mortgaged is time. In other words, we will give them a long time to do whatever they might have to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
And what that time is right now? Is that still in negotiation?
Yeah, we're negotiating those time. But the other part of that is that even if they try to sell it, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Companies do buying and trading all the time. But built into anything that a sale, the Port Authority governing body have to authorize a sale
mm-hmm.
of that contract.
Okay.
So they can't just get up tomorrow and say, well, we're going to sell it to somebody. So we have some of the strongest consultants in the business that does these P3, and other jurisdictions have had all kinds of challenges with it. But it's what you have ultimately in your agreement. A big key element here. Most places are doing these things. They come up with some kind of tax to do it.
Yeah.
We are not the people.
We're not taxing the people.
Nobody is getting taxed.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, I want you to answer this question. What happens to the Port Authority going forward?
Okay.
We'll take a break. Be back. And Rocky, I think you got a follow-up question as well. We'll be back with your table talk right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.